I actually have a little demonstration to give you before we get into it. And I'm actually going to need a volunteer. Okay. Maybe I'll... What's your name? Come forward. Come forward. What's your name?
Brendan.
What locality are you from?
Cambridge.
Cambridge. Very nice. So I have four cups over here. And I want you... I would like you to just pour water into them. Let's go ahead. Yeah, the twist is a little bit good. Seems pretty good. So. Okay.
He's got steady hands.
Very steady hands, indeed. Wow. What a fine
professional.
Doing everything. So for those that can't see, I'm having Brendan fill out these cups over here, and he did a wonderful job of just kind of pouring everything into it, into just, going into an just pretty much an even amount. Okay, thank you, Brendan. You can sit down. Okay, we're going to do this again. Somebody else? Maybe we'll pick a sister this time. Okay. I don't know. We'll find out in a little bit. Okay, your turn.
I feel all the way to the
top. However you feel.
Oh.
Okay, she's poured a little bit more. She's being methodical too. Actually, why don't you come around? Oh, your name is Zoe. I'm sorry. So, okay. Thank you, Zoe. Keep going. Okay. Oh, interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so for those that can't see the table from the front, we actually have... So Zoe here, she actually filled it up even higher and actually much more even, much more rounded. So actually, for those of you... Okay, thank you, Zoe. You can go back down. All right, great. Fantastic. Okay, so... I have a. How many of you have your Bibles? Maybe someone can pour, point open to Luke 6:38. Yeah, maybe we'll get over there.
Luke 6:38.
Can you bring it? Thank you. Actually, brothers, pull open Luke 6:38. Yeah. No, fine. Keep pulling up Luke 6:38. That's good. Yep, that's fine. Get to this a little bit.
Luke 6:38.
Okay. For those that have it, let's read it together.
Give
and it will be given to you. A good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and gotten over. For the measure you measure, it shall be measured to you in return. Amen. So how many of you recognize the... So this bosom over here is actually a gathered fold of the wide upper garment bound together with a girdle and thus forming a pouch. So I had you read this verse, and then there's another one I kind of want you to just keep in frame of mind. James 4:2b, you do not have because you do not ask. So last night, Brother Ricky actually covered just the importance. Who remembers the first key phrase that he mentioned from last night's message for those that kind of have it? Or at least, what were the two key points? Maybe we could just read the title. That's fine. Oh, Lord. What was his first sentence? That's okay. God has given me two gifts so that I can know them, know him. Two great gifts, the Spirit and the Bible.
Amen.
So I just pointed out Luke 6:38 because... This, I think, was just so fresh and appealing to me over the last week, that whenever we ask the Lord anything specific, he desires not only to just give us what we need, but I think he desires overflowing water. I have to kind of contain myself. Overflowing, good down, pressed down, shaken together, and given with good measure. Within Luke 6:38, this actually is in the context of grains of wheat. So if you were to go over to like a merchant or something, maybe you're weighing out your particular grains. Maybe you're considering, oh, okay, I need about a pound of meal. The merchant would just give you a pound of meal. But if we look at the word, you see that the Lord desires to do much more than the pound of meal. Right. He desires to give us a... Apologize. I kind of fell over there. He desires to give us a sack that's just filled over, and then he'll take it, he'll shake it down, make sure the contents are good, and pour over and express itself. Amen. So my burden for you this morning is that 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation. Amen. So this is the highlight. If you take away nothing else from this, it's this burden in 1 Peter 2:2 on these two words, longing for the guileless of the phrases, longing for the guileless milk of the word, and the second part, growing unto salvation. Amen. So, what is the Lord Jesus? How about we read through Roman numeral 1? The spiritual inheritance God has given to us are the spirit which cannot be seen, and the Bible which can be seen. Oh, sorry, that's last night's. Apologies.
Lesson three
on page 5. Here we go. Roman numeral 1. We need to read the Bible sequentially from cover to cover. By reading the Bible in this way, we will better understand the... And how about... Let's pull open Colossians. Sisters, can you pull up Colossians 3:16? And brothers, can you pull open 2 Timothy 3:15? Jesus. Okay, sisters, those that have it, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God.
Amen.
And then, brothers, 2 Timothy 3:15.
And that
from a babe you have known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Okay. So I didn't actually introduce them. So I'm James Chang from the church in New York City, and I happen to work in Midtown. So I just need to get a quick polling over here. How many of you, this is your first time within the Summer School of Truth? Okay. That's good. That's a fair amount that's actually here. How many of you have actually had this concept, and how many of you have some sort of reading plan again? Let me just, reading through the Bible in a regular manner. Just raise your hands. Okay. So that's a substantial proportion, only about 20%. But this part of the burden over here, for you to long for the guileless milk of the word, I hope through our experiences and examples, you can also long for it as yourself. Amen. Now, there's an important point when you contact the word, and it's maybe we could just do a small little exercise. So I'm going to write something on the board, and then I'm going to find out from you what you can tell me about what I write on the board. So just ignore this first part that's up here. So just as an example, okay, what did I just write on the board?
A.
Okay. Anything else that you want to tell me about? So this, okay, we think it's the letter A. What else? Do we say anything else that we want? Okay.
Black.
Okay. Sounds, okay. How about anything about the background about the letter A? Sorry. Okay, but I think, yes. It's first letter of the alphabet. Okay. Okay, so this is kind of what we're going to do. I'm going to give you the second letter now. Actually, maybe as another warm-up. What is this? Oh, interesting. Okay, we have a fish. I hear alpha for Greek. Anything else? I'm going to add a little more. Okay. Okay, one last letter. One last letter I'm going to add here. Okay. Okay, we have the letter E. What is this? Fifth letter, okay. I'm looking for something outside the something within the realm of mathematics. A balloon? Oh, yeah. Euler's constant, sorry. 2.718. So, yeah, the Euler's concept. We're going to kind of highlight, okay. So, sorry. Sorry for the little bit of a distraction over there. Okay, settle down. Let's try and get back and focus a bit. So, my point of this exercise is that sometimes when we contact the word, we might be contacting it in a dry way. We have a tripartite being, for those that don't know, right? We have, maybe you haven't seen this photo, this picture before, but this is a picture of you. You have your body, you have your soul, and then you have your spirit inside. So in order to contact the word, we can't just be, sometimes within our soul is just our mind. Sometimes when we're contacting the word, we're just reading it with our mind. We're trying to get understanding. But I'm trying to encourage you for this deeper part over here, to exercise your spirit to touch the word.
Right.
So this is the same way over here. We might not know all the context for this E, but we have to have utilize the right organ, so to speak, to understand. Within the context of E, for a mathematician, this is 2.718. But for most of us, this might be just a squibble on the board or just the fifth letter in the alphabet. So, oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Amen.
So, let's go over here. We'll come back to this. This letter is going to be somewhat important. There's a second part I might want to bring up with you all. So we'll get into that and we'll just go. So how many of you know what it means to pray read? Does anyone have a definition of prayer reading they would like to try and give me over here? Yes?
You read a verse.
You read a verse?
And then you just pray something of it.
You pray something of it. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. What else do we have? Oh, okay, actually, no, that's the particular example over there. Maybe we could just also turn open to our booklet over here. How about we get to, for those that have, that purchased it fairly recently, page 326 in the book. This is actually the last chapter within this particular book.
Chapter 24,
and then Roman numeral 2, pray reading the Word of God. Okay. Okay.
The old edition is page 333.
Page 333 if you have an older edition. Okay, how about we split the room a little bit. So the first paragraph we have from the middle down to the right by the exit door. Maybe they can read the first paragraph. And from the middle down to the other side, you can read the second paragraph. Oh, Lord. Ready? All right, this side. Another simple, spiritual, and most beneficial way to read the Bible is prayer reading. We take the Bible text as prayer and pray read with it.
Amen.
Not only do we read and pray simultaneously, or pray and read, read and pray, but also we directly turn the text we are reading into the very words of prayer to pray with.
Amen.
At the time, we may apply the text to ourselves through prayer.
Right.
The more we repeat this kind of prayer reading, the more uplifted and released our spirit becomes.
Amen.
And the greater, deeper, and richer the benefit is which we receive.
Amen.
Okay.
The Apostle
Paul told us to receive the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit. When we pray read this way, we get nourished with the Spirit, and we maintain fellowship with the Lord. As we pray, the Lord may expose our shortcomings through His Word. When we confess, He will forgive and cleanse us. We may also use the Word to pray for others and for the Lord's move. Praying is very useful. All right, junior high, this is the key for you to go on in your Christian life. Amen. Learning this aspect of prayer reading, and as Brother Chris will get into, also reading the Bible sequentially. You need to be able to equip yourselves in a sense. So this matter of prayer reading is actually very similar to chewing the cud. What do you know about cows that chew the cud? So for cows, they actually have, okay, what do you know about?
So they like chew grass and stuff.
Yeah.
And it goes inside your stomach.
Yeah.
And it goes back up.
Yeah.
And they chew it again.
Yeah. How long does that take? That's okay. So to reiterate for those that couldn't hear. So a cow has four stomachs. And because it cannot, yes, four stomachs. So because it cannot, or four chambers. So because it cannot digest the grass that it has, it actually relies on the bacteria inside each of its stomachs or chambers so that it can digest the grass. So it's very interesting. And Leviticus 11:26 says, "For every beast which has a divided hoof but does not have its hoof split in two or chew the cud is unclean to you. Everyone who touches them shall be unclean." It's very interesting that in the Word of God that the Lord specified that the animals that you could touch that were considered clean had to chew the cud.
Right.
Chewing the cud is another way to just masticate the word of the Bible.
Right.
How many of you enjoy your personal prayer time in the morning with the Lord?
Amen.
Yeah. How many of you, all right, second question, how many of you have a regular personal, well, don't raise your hands. How many, you probably, in terms of enjoying your personal prayer time with the Lord, this is just another way to exercise it, to just chew even over just one or two verses. So maybe as an example, just chewing the cud, I was just richly enjoying Ephesians 2:4.
Right.
So maybe I'll just give you an example right here. I'll read it first, but Ephesians 2:4-5, actually. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in offenses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So just when I was enjoying this verse in my morning time, I don't have the benefit of a different crowd, but all these things, I could just repeat it a little bit. But God, being rich in mercy. Oh, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Oh, I was freshly, when we pray that, maybe something might strike you within it. Some light might turn on. Being rich in mercy. Mercy indicates that is a word that describes reaching down to someone that's not even of your own status level. So an example of mercy would be, if there's a beggar on the street, if I give him a dollar, that's me extending mercy to him.
Right.
If I don't give him a dollar, that's not extending mercy to him.
Right.
But God being rich in mercy.
Amen.
So we don't have the same status as God. We don't have the same standing. He has no right to give us mercy. But he, being rich in mercy, gives us because of his great love with which he loved us. Not out of duty, but because of the love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in offenses. So we weren't even on the radar. We were gone. We couldn't, dead in offenses. He couldn't see us. He brought his son, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
Amen.
So this is an example. So that chewing of that cud, that verse watered me. As I kept chewing that in the morning, I enjoyed it throughout the day. I had this other realization. It's because God loves us so much that we have proof that he loves us so much is that we have the Spirit inside of us.
Amen.
So we can turn to him, just like Brother Ricky was speaking about last night. We can talk to him about anything. We can present all our fears, griefs, and anything. And that can bring us into a closer enjoyment with the Lord.
Right.
But that strays from the point being that I can only get that revelation if
right.
I touch
right.
the Word.
Right.
Without the Word, I would not have had that instant revelation,
right.
that enjoyable. So, one last verse I think I'll leave you with is Ephesians. Let's go. Ephesians 6:17-18. I think this is the memory verse, right? Yes, Ephesians 6:17. "And receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in Spirit, and watching unto this, in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints." How many of you know the story of the Lord of Peter walking on the water? Yes. Okay. So what was some other background about that? Actually, I'll just give you the background. We're kind of running out of time. But in terms of the background, so in that morning, the Lord had just finished feeding the 5,000, and then he decided to go away with the disciples on the boat. But it actually, the point over here in Matthew 14, 22 to 27, and immediately he compelled his disciples to step into the boat and to go before him to the other side. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And the disciples, seeing him walking on the sea, were startled, saying, "It is a ghost," and he cried out from fear. So the background for this is that when Peter was walking on the water, the Lord came to approach him on the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch was referring to the old Roman guard of doing things, of three shifts. And so you would have a three-hour shift, maybe in the early evening, another three-hour shift to the dead of night, a third-hour shift, and then finally the fourth watch. The fourth watch was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So how many, for this example, the Lord appeared to Peter in the morning. How many of us can actually say that we're willing to forego sleep? How we're eager to begin the start of our watch to just enjoy the Lord. So I think that will be just about this time, but maybe just a little bit on compounding. So I'm an actuary, and so I like mathematics a little bit. So this, just a tad bit. So I'm just giving you this expression. Maybe some of you might need an explanation a little bit later. But this is 1.01. So this represents 1%. And so I raised it to the 365th power. Okay, so 1.01365. This is like when you go to the bank, and then you put your money in the bank, and then it collects interest. Each and every day, it compounds. So first day, it's 1.1%. The next day, it's 1.01 squared. I can't think about the math right now. But interesting enough, this number, when you compound it 365 times, is approximately over 37 times. So here's another number, 0.99 to the 365. It's, again, 1%, but it's a 1% decrease every single day. That, after 365, is equal to 2%. So think about your days with the Lord, your time you spend every single day. 365 days in a year. Right. If you could just spend a little bit, 1% more than what you're doing right now, you could enjoy the Lord 37 times more so. But if we're negligent, if we skip our watch, if we skip the Lord, if we don't spend the time with him in dwelling in the Word, right, letting him, longing for it, the things kind of might leak out a little bit, and we're left with 2%.
Right.
So anyway, I think we'll just end my speaking over here, and then we'll pass it over to Chris.
Amen. It's a privilege that we have. Look at it. You got like that writing?
There was a sister who helped me wrote it. That was a good read. Anybody's a good reader. So I'm getting this ready. Who's a good reader? You know, one that will breathe and actually articulate every word. Anybody a good reader here? Yes? Come on, read it. Read it to us.
This one is from the first issue. You've never seen this publication. This is probably published. The Christian, Brother Timothy, I think that was one of the earlier publications Brother Nee came out, right? I think it's probably around the 1920. You weren't born yet. I wasn't born yet. It may appear I'm born that time, but I'm not. So this is what Brother Nee, by the way, you know what you're going to read. This is precious. This is what Brother Nee wrote. He said, we're gonna publish something. This is our
standard.
Oh, hear that.
Standard.
Standard. You have a standard? The church that we have a standard. Sister, could you read it for us clearly?
The Bible is our only standard.
Yeah, do that again. Yeah.
The Bible is our only standard. Amen. We are not afraid to preach the pure word of the Bible, even if men oppose. But if it is not the word of the Bible, we can never agree, even if everyone approved.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Isn't that sobering?
Yeah.
Right, Brother Paul? That's sobering. Today, everything in our lives is a compromise. Isn't it? oh, you can't say that, you can't do that, because somebody gets offended. Oh. Right. You tell, oh, Christ Jesus, oh, don't say Christ Jesus. Somebody get offended. We're living very much in a way of what? Compromise. But quite good. I'm so glad we have a standard.
Amen.
I sure hope today you don't have to copy it now, because get your paper out, your notebook. There's a few things I want to hope you can take home with you, because if you don't write it down, it's not going to be with you. You're going to read this and say, oh, that's very inspiring. That's very inspiring. But you won't remember it 5 minutes after this meeting. So you don't have to copy this right now. I'll leave it on. And I have a reference over here for those you cannot see, especially you cannot see over there. It's a real pleasure if you would read this book. Watchman Nee, Dash, A Seer of the Divine Revelation in the Present Age. Why do I recommend that one? Though we're talking about the Bible. Why do I recommend that? Because I was freshly appreciated. Recently, there's a new publication called the Ministry Digest. Now, when I was young, even around your age, I read quite a bit about Watchman Nee and Brother Lee. And I kind of have an understanding that during that early days of Brother Watchman Nee, N-E-E, he had a mentor. And his mentor, her name was called Margaret E. Barber. Right? Margaret E. Barber. Some call M.E. Barber. Margaret E. Barber. I just didn't have a concept. I didn't have a clue how young he was. I just, Brother Nee, right? So he must be. Let me give you some number. You ready to write? You ready to write? Oh, maybe I have it over here. I think I have it. Oh, yeah, I do. This you can write it down. This you can copy later. This you write it down. 4/28/1920. What is that? That's not my birthday. That was the day the Brother Nee still remember, the day he got saved. Why am I writing that? Especially this year, 1920. He was 17 years old. He said, oh, I'm not 17. I'm younger than that. I got it. You're younger. But he was young too. You're young. He was young. At this time, he said in his own testimony, I think later on, in the biography, by the way, this is a biography that's written by Brother Lee for Brother Nee. It's always, you want to know someone's life and living, you want to read their biography. You get some really very touching story. At the age of 17, he confessed to the heaven, to the earth, to the people, I love the Bible.
Amen.
Let me emphasize that. He confessed. He don't just like the Bible. He said, I love the Bible.
Amen.
You want to repeat that again? I love the Bible. There is something in him. The day at 17 years old, when he was saved, he said, I love the Bible. He gave that testimony. He didn't say, let me give a testimony today. I love the Bible. No, it wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. When he had a private conversation with Brother Lee, he said, I love the Bible. When he had some correspondence,
you know, in letter with, you know, remember writing letter, Brother Shepherd was talking about writing letter. At that time, there was no email. If they send a text, a teletext, telegram, that would be something, right? That costs a lot of money, telegram, right? He said, I love the Bible. It comes through in everything he wrote, everything he said. 17 years old. Dear Saint, do you love the Bible?
Amen.
You may know the Bible. But if you want to love something, your whole being, your emotion, got to be involved. You got to feel like, I am not right today. I'm not reading the Bible. It would be a shame. It would be a shame. We're going to go through 10 days of the Summer School of Truth. You're going to learn a lot about the Bible. And yet, you don't read the Bible. You might challenge me, oh, Uncle Chris, you know, how do you know I don't read a Bible? You know, maybe I read more Bible than you do. Yeah, maybe. But let me give you another number. I looked it up this morning. It will have no meanings if there's no context. Let me tell you. The meaning, the context is, this is a URL. I know it's hard to see, I'm reading it. L-E-T-T, let the word .com. This is a reality check, right? Let the word .com. I want to give you two numbers. Three numbers, actually. 4992. 105. 2.1%. How's that, Brother James? You like statistics and all that? Immediately he looked at that and said, 105 divided by 490, you know, 492 multiplied by 100, that's 2.1%. Right? He can do it by heart. That's what a statistician actuary does, right? If you go to lettheword.com, you don't want to go there right now. If you go to lettheword.com, your flash page, if you have a larger screen, if you have just your smartphone, it probably won't show you. But if you're on the larger screen, you will see 4992. As of this morning, there's 4,992 brothers and sisters registered on Let the Word. That is a website for you to read the Word, read the Bible every day. 4,992. Say, amen, wow, we have 4,992 saints registered to read the Word. How many actually read? At best, is 105 verses in the past 24 hours. I've been checking that regularly because we use it. Right, Sister Shirley and I, we're on the same reading group. Right, so we get on that every day. So I've been watching that. It's been hurting my heart. 5,000 registered users. And we all know, right? Sometimes we read more than one verse. So we register, one person register more than one verses. Sometimes register four or five verses. So assuming just one person register a verse, because you can only do one verse, chapter at a time, there's only 105 people out of 5,000 saints who are reading. That amounts to 2.1%. Look, at one point, maybe after the Summer School of Truth, you get very excited, you say, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to register on the, and that number is going to go up. But will this number go up? When does that number go up? When does that number go up?
When you read a verse.
Yeah, thank you. When you actually read a verse. When you actually read a chapter. When you actually say, bing, I just read Ephesians chapter 6. This is, as we could call it maybe colloquially, this is where the rubber meets the road. You can be excited. Oh, I'm going to read the Bible. And he says, oh, I'm real so inspired. Watchman Nee is 17. I love the Bible. But it all comes down to this, sisters, brothers. Will you read? Will you actually open the Bible and read the Bible? Mm-hmm. You can talk the talk. Would you just read it? You can say, oh, I understand. I can quote. I can memorize verses. But my question is, will you read the Bible every day? That is the question. You can talk all you want. But at one point, you just have to make a decision. I love the Bible. Lord, I am committed to you. And I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to introduce you to another word. Just so you want to write it down. And this one we want to read actually from this book. So as you write, get this book ready. If you cannot see, I try to write as big as I can. It's called Being, B-I-A-N-G. That fit net. Can you see it? What does that mean? What does that mean? You can turn to lesson 24. By the way, this lesson is really quite good, lesson 24. I suggest in a small group, you really spend some time reading it. Or when you have, you know, on your own, spend some time reading this. Turn to lesson 24. Dear saints, you can talk all you want. You can be in tears. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. I gave myself to you. Summer school is true. I really rejuvenated my spirit and all that. I'm just saying, yes, that's all good. But you got to be what? I can't hear you.
Definite.
What?
Definite.
What does that mean, definite? Huh? Huh? What does it mean, definite? He doesn't know. Very good. Honest. Brother, do you know what does it mean, be definite? Good. He said, certain. Actually, you could be smart. Just said, definite means definite. Are you sure? Definitely. Are you sure?
Definitely.
Are you not sure? Then you're not definite. But are you sure?
Absolutely.
Maybe. Maybe. That's not definite. But what does the Bible need for you to do? Let me hear it. No, that's not very good. That's not very definite. That's just hearing your voice. What do you have to do?
Be.
You have to be definite. Nobody going to be definite for you. You don't be definite. No one can be definite for you. Let me be definite for you. No, I can't be definite for you. I can't be definite for you. I can't be definite for you. You got a maybe? That's maybe. Because that's you. Being is who you are. Let's take a look. I think this is in the section Roman numeral 3E as in Albert. I mean, as in echo. E as in echo. Being definite. See it? You see a section? I don't know. Who's got the latest page?
Page 330.
Okay. This is a great paragraph. I want sisters to read one sentence. Brother, you read one sentence. Read it with your heart. Read it with your being. At least be definite reading this. Sister, first sentence.
It is necessary to be definite.
What? Brothers, why?
Everything in your human life is definite.
That's right. If you say maybe, you're being half human. Sorry. Sisters.
The sun rises and sets at definite times.
And the school?
School starts and ends at definite times on definite days.
Then why can't you be definite? Next.
Airline departures and arrivals.
You get really angry if your school bus is late. You get really irritated if you go to a subway, you go to a bus stop, you go to a train, you go to airline, the thing is late, people complain, people file whatever kind of, you know, complaints. But when it comes to the Bible, you say, well, Lord knows my heart. I really love the Lord. But, you know, today I'm really busy. And maybe tomorrow too. Continue. Therefore,
you need to be definite in studying the Bible.
Can we hear that again?
Therefore, you need to be definite in studying the Bible.
Next. Who's there? I got it mixed up already. Sister, set up. Underline that, please. Don't worry about getting your book dirty. Underline that. Circle that. Write it down. In fact, I ask you to write it down because you underline it, you forget it. You write it down. Set up a definite time. That's what it means. Set up a definite time and a day for studying the truth, to read your Bible. All right. If you finish writing, brothers, read. Determine. Sisters,
it is not only good to have study companions, but it is also good to tell your elders and serving ones of your plan of study so that they may guide you.
Oh, talk to the elders, serving ones. Especially for those who are the maybe-er. I don't want to commit myself. I don't want to be definite. Because once you commit it, if I tell Uncle Timothy, then Uncle Timothy is going to look at me strange. He's going to come and ask me every day, so did you read your Bible as you have set your definite plan? So it's better to keep a secret. It's a secret between me and my God. No. That's good enough. I hope you can read this. It's serious, right? It is serious. We can appreciate the Bible. We can learn about the Bible, as you will this next 10 days. But do you love the Bible? We cannot go on. The Lord cannot go on. Let me just be honest with you. We're not just talking about reading the Bible so you can be a good Christian. No, there's no Christian life that is not based on the Bible. God cannot speak to you. How can you be a proper Christian if you do not have the Bible in you so God can speak to you? Dear saints, I really do believe. Brother Nee, at the age of 17, he said he loved the Bible. I got 1 minute. I'll do this real fast. I'll give you one testimony I read about Brother Nee. He was saved at 17. You can correct me. I think maybe I'm getting a year off a little bit, those brothers who were good at the historical fact. At 17, he got saved. I think just beginning around half a year, 36 months later, he go spend his own money printing some gospel tracts, spend his own money, and then he go on, you know, paste it up, and then give it to preaching the gospel. But that's not my point. He went to see Emmy Barber, I think maybe when he was in 2000, I think we had 1920, right? He was saved in 1920. In 1921, how old was he? 18, right? This is the part where I wanted you to, I think it's 1921, he went to see Sister Barber. And Sister Barber, she's a tough lady, right? This lady is really tough. And she's saying, Watchman, have you read the Bible from cover to cover? I'm paraphrasing. You read the whole Bible? You know, Brother Nee is very smart, right? He's border on genius, right? He's a genius. He's like, that's a tough question to answer. His answer was, I read the Bible every day. Yeah, how's that, huh? Did you finish the Bible cover to cover? You don't really want to answer that, right? So what do you do? I read the Bible every day. Am I still correct? Uh-huh. Am I still correct? Right? At 18, right? So Sister Barbara called him out right away. He said, "Brother, I did not ask you that question. I asked you, have you finished the Bible from cover to cover? Don't skirt around the question." And he said, "No." He read the Bible every day. He really does. He actually loves the Bible. He reads the Bible every day, but he does not have a what? Definite schedule. You know, I think I'm dramatizing a little bit here. I think this is what Brother Lee's in the testimony. This was a testimony Brother Lee gave. I think she was kind of maybe like this. Watch this. And maybe she was like talking to herself like, "Oh, a one has been saved for 1 year. That had been saved for 1 year. He's a Christian for 1 year. He hasn't finished reading the Bible one time from cover to cover." How many years have you been saved? I'm not comparing anything, but I want to highlight certain things. After Brother Nee heard that is kind of like a knife that's cut into his heart. Today, I'm pointing the same knife into your heart, plunging into your heart. Hopefully, the Spirit is doing that. How many years have you been saved? Do not answer that question. Have you finished the Bible from cover to cover? Do you have a definite schedule? Say, "Lord, I want to devour your word every day, but with a schedule. I want to finish your Bible from cover to cover in 1 year." Okay, maybe that's too much. In 2 years. He went home. This is the part I'm also getting kind of sketchy. I think it's something like in the next 12 months, he read the Bible 7 times. Any historian here? Some number like 7 times. Whole Bible. He read the whole Bible in next year, 12 months, 7 times. Boom, finish. Again, 2nd time. 3rd. That's in addition, he read the New Testament by itself something like 25 times. Okay, got it, right? Our brother is special. But you know, you're special too. Because I do believe, as Brother James and I, we were talking with fellowship, we really have a deepest, real deep sense. The Lord had called you, your younger generation, to call you at this time. And the burden is really about fighting a spiritual warfare. This is the time. At 17, at 18, the brother is ready, said, "I am ready to be one with the Lord, to be enlisted in his army. I am fighting his spiritual warfare." To do that, Eldon, to do that, what do you need? A heart? Yeah, you need a heart, good heart for the Lord. What else do you need? What? Definite what? That's right, to read the Bible. Dear saints, I am not pulling any punches. I'm just going to tell you today, I'm not going to give you some spiritual description of things. I'm telling you, you got to read the Bible. Set a schedule and finish it. And then repeat that process again. You just do it again and again and? Again. What's that?
Again.
Again. And then?
Again.
Again for the rest of your life. And my time's up, and I went over. Sorry. I have a couple other things I was going to write it to you, but that's just not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. But do write this down. Revelations. Read this. That's another knife that's hopefully Spirit going to plunge into your heart and maybe even a little bit. You know it hurts, right? When it's not just like, it's like and it's going to twist a little bit. It's going to hurt. It's good. Let the spirit does that, right? That's Sam, right? I'm not the bad guy, right? I'm just presenting to you what the spirit wants to talk to you. It would be a shame. Today we will finish the summer school of truth. I learn about the Bible. And then, have you finished reading the Bible from cover to cover? Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. There was a church that the Spirit called, you never finish anything. You start everything, you never finish anything. Your work is never complete. In fact, I believe many of you have started reading the Bible and there's something went wrong. Of course, everything goes wrong. Life is like that. But be strong, dear saints. Be strong. Life always gives you surprises. What do? You dust yourself off. You get up. Stop crying. Say, I'm going to pick up where I left off and finish reading the Bible. Amen. Finish reading the Bible. Amen. Don't go back to Genesis again. Don't go back to Matthew again. Just pick up where you left off. Finish it. Complete it. Don't be like the church. Oh, is that Sardis? The Lord said, you never complete anything. You start this, you start that, you start the life study, but you never finish it. Finish it. Complete it, saints. We can do it. The Lord is counting on you. You are the generation. Yes, we do believe Brother Nee is special. He's a special gift to the Lord for his recovery. But you are special. If you rise up, if there are 10 of you, you get a bump up. What was that number? 105? Make me happy. No, don't make me happy. Make God happy. Make that like 500 because of you. Register on lettheword.com. Join as a group. Check each other. Finish reading that Bible. Make that 505, 1,005. Do it. Set a schedule. Be definite. No schedule, no reading. Your reading is not consistent. It is not definite. All right. Sorry, took a little bit longer. Brothers, what should we do? Sharing, praying. What do you got, brothers, sisters, want to do? You want to pray? You want to share? You want to cry? Or you want to stand up and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I love your Bible. Oh, Lord Jesus, change my heart. I want to be definite. Definite.
Amen.
I'll leave the brothers.
Amen. Amen.